Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Welcome to the Horticulture Week podcast. I'm Rachel Forsyth, senior reporter at Hort Week, and this week I'm joined by garden designer Camelia Taylor. Thank you so much for joining me today. Really excited to have you.
Thank you very much for having me here.
No, it's really interesting. I'm really excited to kind of pick your brain today because I know you've got a background in psychology. So I'm kind of interested to see how that plays into, you know, designing gardens. And obviously you have your Chelsea garden coming up with aspens. So we're going to kind of delve into that and what they do and how it's influenced the garden design. But first and foremost, shall we start with that psychology background?
So my background was in psychology. I studied psychology and I was working with young people on the autism spectrum and women that had experienced domestic violence. And I was completing a master's at UCL on speech and language therapy at the time, and I ended up falling pregnant with my wonderful first daughter. And so I took a career break, and then I had my second daughter, and I just looked at things in a different way. And I love psychology. I love everything about the way that our mental health can connect to nature, and I have that strong belief in nature and our well-being. And so when I was thinking about what I was going to do and whether I was going to continue in psychology or retrain and do something different, that was the route that I was thinking about. And so I went to Hadlow College and I did the RHS level 2 course. And then from there, I just found this passion for plants, and I knew that I could connect my background with plants.
Absolutely.
So I went to London College of Garden Design and I did a design course there and set up my own studio in Kent and haven't looked back, and just love designing gardens for people, for families, but also sensory gardens. And I'm always trying to keep linking back to my background in psychology. So I've recently done an eco-sensory course.
Oh, cool.
just to make sure that I don't have psychology as my past and garden design as my present. I want to connect them both because I really do believe in that power of nature and our well-being.
Yeah, absolutely. I already have 1,001 more questions for you. When you're designing those gardens, even if it's for a family or you're not necessarily going in there to create that sensory garden, do you find that those background influences and psychology still play into how you design the gardens for those people?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, with clients, everybody's so different. And actually having that background, I look at the personalities, I look at the relationships, so the family relationships, and try and make sure that it's a garden that works for everybody and considers everybody in the family. Mm. And so I do look to the people first. I had a client recently who we were having this lovely conversation, and she just said, oh, I'd like a garden that takes me on a journey.
Yeah.
And so I just unpicked that and unpicked that with her. And we looked into the psychology. Well, I looked into the psychology of what a journey would mean and the textures and the feelings that you would have. And so although with psychology, I do bring it into sensory gardens, I think it can come into every garden, really, just in different ways.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the eco-sensory course that you've just done. Talk us through that. What did that kind of involve?
So it was an online course that that I've done. And I read a lot about the power of nature and how it's good for us, how it makes us feel good, both physiologically and psychologically. Mm. And so it was really important for me to make sure that I was still on top of that research. And this was a course that was aimed at therapists. Yeah. And I loved it because it was everything that I'm doing and everything that I believe, but it was the scientific basis behind them. And just made sure that I continued down that path that of nature and that connection.
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it, how you can design gardens for people with so many different needs. Really, like, we always bang the drum in this industry about how beneficial nature is, but it's great to kind of hear that scientific backing, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, I think because it's only really since the late 90s and the early 2000s that actually the science is really catching up, but it's really catching up on something we've always known.
Yeah.
Like, it's for years we've known how good nature is. It's Wordsworth wrote about it, Beethoven. It's not new. It's just now the science is really there, and there's a lot being done, and it's a really fascinating subject and one that I love and I'm drawn to.
Yeah, definitely. What would you say are some of your favorite projects that you've worked on over the years?
So this is definitely my project that I'm doing with Aspens at the moment. Is one of my favourites because we just have such a lovely connection. But the gardens with families, I had a garden that I worked on with a family, and there are five members of the family and they all wanted something completely different.
Okay.
And so it was trying to look at them all having different needs, all wanting something different, but also making it a garden where they could all come together. And so I love gardens like that because you're trying to make sure that you give everybody what they want, but you also make it a space for connections.
Yeah, absolutely. So what were those different needs that the family had that you kind of had to bring together?
So you had the parents that wanted to have an area for themselves. The husband was very sporty, and so he wanted an area that he could take himself off to. You had children, and the children were all young. And actually, something that I really considered was how children are only that age for that moment in time and how they're going to grow. Mm. So although you had little ones that wanted fairy dens and little furniture to be able to sit on, it was thinking about these spaces for these three different children, these three different personalities, but also thinking about how they were then going to grow and how the things that went into that garden would need to grow with them. So things like we had this log that was going to become a balance beam, and actually the children are older now, and so they do use it as a balance beam.
Oh, cool.
And so it was creating these spaces that they all had their own pockets, but actually thinking about how they would change and evolve over time as well. So planks that could become benches, that could become balance beams. And that was something that I was quite mindful of. I like to use natural materials in the garden. So lots of reclaimed wood and things like that. Things that will also break down over time.
Yeah, yeah. And is there a planting palette that you kind of like to work with, or is it really variable?
I do like the cool colours. I like the calming colour palettes. Mm. So I tend to plant with the cool, calming colours and then have fun making stimulation in different ways. I'm drawn definitely more to the calmer, cooler colours.
Yeah, and I've read a little bit about your Chelsea garden, and I know that that's a part of that garden. So why don't you talk to us first about how you kind of came to be designing this garden for Aspens, and a little bit about Aspens itself as well.
So Aspens is this wonderful charity based in Pembury in Kent, and they are residential living for people on the autism spectrum and with learning disabilities. They also have a day service use, so people can come in and use the service during the day. It's a lovely space. They have an area for pottery, for art. They have an on-site cafe, and they're open to the public. And so I've known Aspens since my children were young.
Oh, okay.
I used to take them in the pram to the woods there, because they have a lovely bluebell trail.
Oh, beautiful.
And so we'd go there, and they have animals on site. So it was a site that I was really familiar with. And then when I was in my last few months of my course on London College of Garden Design, I asked Aspens if I could do my final project there, because I really wanted to bring in my background in psychology into my final project. And I spoke to this lovely lady called Sue, and we really hit it off, and she was really excited about the idea. And I based my final project there, but they asked me to come down and present it, and they were really excited about it. And actually, afterwards, wanted to take elements of the sensory planting to have there at Aspens.
Oh, amazing.
And so over the years, I've just stayed in contact with them. And if they've had anything they want to promote on social media, I've done some posts for them. Mm. I've given them ideas on sensory planting. And then a little while ago, it was about over a year ago now, I got a call from Sue, and she just said, "Have you heard of Project Giving Back?" And I had, and then we were talking about it, and she said, "Do you want to design a garden for us?" And I said yes, and then we've just been on this incredible
so
journey together, and it's lovely because we're so connected. Mm. We talk so often, and it feels like a journey that we've been on together, and I'm really looking forward to us just carrying on this journey and being there together, and then bringing the garden back to Aspens, which is where it's designed for.
Yeah, absolutely. And so tell us about the garden. What can we expect to see there?
So the garden is a sensory garden. So it targets seven senses. It targets the taste, touch, balance, and it's full of textured, soft, green planting. It has areas targeting each sense, and it has this lovely winding path that takes you through the garden to explore it. So if you were looking at the garden as a whole, it would feel calm. It's mainly green, because green is a very calming colour. It's a shorter wavelength, so our eyes don't need to adjust when we see it. So it makes us feel calm. And then there's a few other colours in there, some soft colours, purples. So for somebody on the autism spectrum who doesn't like too much stimulation, it would have a very calming effect on them. But then if you wanted to have some stimulation, you just need to engage with the garden. So for example, taste, you could taste some of the planting for stimulation. Hearing, you could engage with how the hearing aspect of the garden works. The stone is really tactile. And it's an accessible garden. It was very important to me that it was an inclusive garden, and it's an accessible garden that can be explored in lots of different ways.
Amazing. And is it your first time at Chelsea?
It is my first time at Chelsea, yes.
So exciting. I'm really looking forward to seeing how the garden comes together. And do you think that Project Giving Back is providing quite a good opportunity to charities like Aspen's to kind of show their faces at these things and kind of promote what they do?
I think Project Giving Back is incredible. It's such a great opportunity. It shines a light on charities like Aspen's who otherwise wouldn't be there. Mm. And for designers, it gives designers a chance to be at this incredible show. The All About Plants category gives designers that haven't been there before an opportunity to go to Chelsea, but Project Giving Back help all across the show. I think they're an incredible part of Chelsea.
Do you think having these gardens supported by Project Giving Back is going to change the sort of gardens that we see at Chelsea?
I think so. I mean, especially for the category that I'm in, it's giving people that opportunity to be there. Project Giving Back it's a great process, and you really, they link the designer and the charity together and so beautifully. And I think that's reflected across all the gardens. And so I can only talk from the experience I've had with Project Giving Back, but it's been really important about that connection between the designer and the charity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And how is Chelsea Prep going? Where are you kind of at with everything?
Chelsea Prep's going, it's going well. It's exciting. It's nerve-wracking. It's everything.
Yeah.
So I've got some incredible people involved, and I really believe that there's so many people that make this garden what it is. We have an incredible contractor, the outdoor room.
Oh, yeah.
David and Mark are just brilliant.
Fantastic,
they are.
Yeah.
I mean, they know Chelsea, and that I'm in very safe hands with them. I have two amazing growers. I have Simon at a Howe Green Nursery, and I have Graham at Plant Base, who again are just so experienced in what they do. And then the stone comes from Gallagher's Quarry, and again they've been incredibly supportive. So the garden's going well, but there's lots of different elements involved, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them all come together.
Yeah, it will be so intense, but so exciting.
Yeah.
Boy, you're really looking forward to seeing it on the day. This has been so interesting, and it's really nice to hear examples of how, you know, nature's really changing people's lives. My very last question that I ask guests is, what plant would you take to a desert island? What would be your choice?
So my eldest daughter grew an apple tree when she was very small, and it's still a very small tree. And I think that I could definitely dig that up and bring it with me to a desert island.
Definitely.
And it would give me fruit and flowers and remind me of my daughter. And so that would definitely be the plant that I would take with me.
That's a great choice. Great choice. Well, a huge thank you again, and best of luck with Chelsea. I'll see you on the day.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh, thank you. And I'll look forward to seeing you there.
I'm Rachel Forsyth, and this has been the Horticulture Week podcast. Make sure you never miss one. Subscribe or follow Horticulture Week podcast via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your preferred podcast platform. If you are interested in producing a podcast with Horticulture Week, email us at hortweek@haymarket.com. Huge, huge thank you again to Camellia, and goodbye for now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.